Yeah, no, you want to stay away.
Pretty hard.
She dances.
Okay. We are open for business, finally. Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. This is Thursday, May 26th. And we will, just so you know, we will open up with a public hearing on House Bill 3408. And Beth, if you can provide an overview, please.
House Bill 3408 would clarify that irrigation reservoirs, canals, delivery lines, and any other structure and facilities associated with an irrigation district is an outright permitted use on land zoned for exclusive farm use. There's a -1 amendment which modifies the language somewhat. Minimal fiscal impact, no statement was issued, no revenue impact.
Okay, thank you. And we have a number of folks that would like to come up and testify. Christina McNitt and David Filippi. Do you guys want to come up together, it looks like? Sean, did you want to come up as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Christina McNitt, representing the Oregon Water Resources Congress. We're a statewide trade association representing irrigation districts, water control districts, and other water delivery organizations across Oregon. With me is David Filippi with Stolreese, also representing OWRC today. As this committee knows probably more than most, water resource management in Oregon is facing significant challenges, primarily water shortages. Surface water is nearly fully allocated during summer months, and groundwater is showing declines in many areas, even right here in the heart of the Willamette Valley, in specifically Marion and Clackamas counties. There are only three pathways to creating what you might call new water. That's water conservation. The second is water reuse. And the third is to store winter water. Indeed, the 2009 legislative session funded the Water Resources Department to develop an integrated water resources strategy plan to meet Oregon's future water needs. An important component of this strategy was the identification of potential water storage sites. But unfortunately, actually siting water storage projects is proving to be a crooked pathway and, in fact, has not happened on any project of any significant size for decades. Today, and what House Bill 3408 addresses, is current statute. Current law allows irrigation districts to place, quote, irrigation canals, delivery lines, and those structures and accessory operational facilities associated with the district as defined in 540-505 as an outright permitted use on ag land. However, districts have heard the following from different counties. One, that the statute applies to individual farm operations, not to irrigation districts, despite the reference to 540-505. Secondly, that the word accessory, which modifies the term other operational facility, also modifies the word structure and therefore couldn't be a significant fundamental piece of the operation. Third, that the word structure could include a dam, but not necessarily the reservoir, which is the whole point of a dam structure. Fourth, that a conditional use would be required. Fifth, that a Goal 3 exception would be required. Six, that a process for updating Goal 5 resource inventories is required. And the current discussion is that irrigation districts actually should fit under statutes that would categorize them as utilities necessary for public service. OWRC believes that a plain reading of current law allows a storage structure, i.e. a dam, as an outright permitted use. This is agricultural infrastructure on agricultural land for agricultural production purposes. House Bill 3408 would change the current law to add the word reservoir so that this implied use is called out specifically, and the -1 amendments also add a limitation to existing law that says that parks or other recreational structures and facilities would not be allowed. You'll hear from some witnesses today that the Department of Land Conservation and Development is working with a Rules Advisory Committee to develop consensus rule language, and that rather than House Bill 3408, the rule process should be allowed to move further. But you'll also hear from some RAC members that the language is not actually consensus language, and that the underlying mysterious legal question about whether or not the word structure would or would not also include a resulting reservoir has not been answered, and that the RAC is pursuing a route that categorizes irrigation district reservoirs as utilities necessary for public use. On behalf of the irrigation districts, I just want to leave with you the thought that irrigation districts are not utilities. We're quasi-municipal entities. Irrigation districts are most often not available for public use and therefore would likely find it difficult to prove a future water storage project was necessary for that public use. We contend that House Bill 3408 is simple, it's elegant, it clearly defines the word, adds the word reservoir under already existing outright permitted uses allowed on EFU land, and we would ask for your serious consideration and support of the bill and the Dash 1 amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't we go ahead and then we'll take questions afterwards. David?
Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee, for the record, my name is David Filippi. I am an attorney with Stoll Reeves in Portland, and I'm on the board of directors for the Oregon Water Resources Congress. And I'm appearing today on behalf of OWRC and testifying in favor of House Bill 3408. This bill is very simple and straightforward. Although it comes in at a whopping 13 pages, it really only focuses on about a dozen words in ORS Chapter 215. At issue,
David, our attorneys were more efficient because the amendment is one page.
The amendment is a half page. That's right. And at issue in this half page and in the 13 pages is the apparent ambiguity in current statutory language and whether reservoirs that store irrigation water and which are operated or maintained by irrigation districts should be allowed as outright uses on EFU lands. And the trouble we've had is that irrigation districts in different counties have been getting different answers to this question depending on which county they're located in. And the confusion was capped off recently when the Oregon AG's office weighed in to say that while it appeared clear from existing statutory language that an irrigation district dam would be allowed outright on EFU lands, it was not so clear that the water behind the dam or the inundation caused by the dam would also be allowed outright. Kind of very similar to allowing an irrigation ditch but not allowing water to flow through that ditch. We would acknowledge that DLCD attempted to address the issue with a proposed rulemaking recently, and we're very appreciative of those efforts by DLCD and the Rule Advisory Committee. But in our view, that effort has actually only led to more confusion because of the lack of clarity in the existing statutory language has caused the RAC to try and mold the existing statutes in a way that don't quite fit. So, in sum, we think House Bill 3408 provides a very simple, common-sense approach to clarifying existing law, and it makes explicit that irrigation reservoirs, along with canals, delivery lines, and other structures and operational facilities that are associated with an irrigation district delivering irrigation water, are all allowed outright. And I do understand that we have in front of us, or you have in front of you, the Dash 1 amendments, which we prepared with the governor's office, and OWRC very much supports the Dash 1 amendment language. The Dash 1 amendment language makes clear that other parks or recreational facilities cannot be bootstrapped onto an irrigation reservoir and somehow permitted as outright uses as part of the irrigation reservoir itself. So I would be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have, and I thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today.
Thank you, David. John?
Good afternoon, Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sean Cleave, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. I don't want to be redundant to Ms. McNitz or Mr. Filippi's very eloquent description of the problem, just to say that the Oregon Farm Bureau supports the underlying bill and the Dash 1 amendments. And with that, I will conclude my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for the panel? I don't leave yet. Chair has questions. So, David, the question I have is, were you involved in the rulemaking?
I was not directly on the Rule Advisory Committee, but I kept up with what was happening, saw the emails from Catherine Daniels and others that were back and forth. So,
okay. Because these are about to be adopted, apparently, in a couple weeks, right?
They're up for... Yeah.
I think they're up for hearing in late June.
Are you going to be testifying,
23rd.
Providing comment? Because... The question I had is the department went through a very lengthy rulemaking process, and now we're looking at putting something in statute, and I want to make sure that, one, we're consistent, and, two, if the rules are not addressing the concerns that you had, that you are putting concerns on the record prior to adoption of those rules.
Assuming that the that House Bill 3408 does not obviate the need for the rules. In other words, if the rulemaking, my sense is that should the statute be passed, it kind of answers the question. House Bill 3408 were to be passed, it answers the question definitively as to whether or not a reservoir is a type sub-1 use or a sub-2 use, whether it's allowed outright or not. And at that point, I don't think that there would be the need for a rulemaking to try and interpret statute current statutory language that doesn't really make sense.
Well, we'll hear from the department on the but I'm just curious why. Because I know you're very involved, and I'm assuming, Christina, were you at all the meetings?
Madam Chair and members, I was not directly involved, but I, too, was following the emails and am fairly familiar with the proposed draft language. And, in fact, House Bill 3408 comes to you because of, not in spite of, that rulemaking process. The issue was first brought to the attention of the LCDC by the Board of Agriculture. The board passed a resolution and asked LCDC to consider a rulemaking to deal with this issue of a reservoir under the statutes that are cited in House Bill 3408. The Rulemaking Advisory Committee has kind of gone a different path. It has stirred a lot of controversy by individual farm owners as well as irrigation districts, and that concern will be very vocally addressed or shared at the rules hearing if indeed they move forward with that. We're hopeful that House Bill 3408 would pass instead and that rulemaking process would no longer be needed. I also know that J.R. Cook is lined up to call in from Umatilla, and he is a direct participant on that RAC, and so your question might be well served to him.
Okay. Well, since J.R. is on the phone, why don't we have okay, so we'll put him on the phone, and then we'll have the department come up. So with that, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're ready.
Push the little telephone button.
This one?
Yeah. Over there. Hi, J.R. This is Senator Dingfelder. Can you hear us? You didn't press mute, did you? No. J.R., can you hear us? No. Okay, so maybe we lost him. I'm going to try again. We'll, in the meantime, Patrick Capper, want to come up?
Is he there?
He should be there.
J.R.?
No.
No, you just turned it off.
Okay.
Not there now.
Yeah, it's not there now. Sorry about that.
No.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead?
I'll be brief. Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, just wanted to offer the support from the Oregon Association of Nurseries for this bill.
And your name is?
Patrick Capper, sorry. Happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Any questions for Mr. Capper?
On second thought.
Okay. So we'll try again. And if not, we'll get this.
There, we'll try it again.
So that big one that has a telephone on it. I know you did it right. JR? We're hearing you, and we're not hearing him. Do you have to hang up to transfer it? Okay, so much for high technology.
Why don't you go?
Yeah, try hanging up, maybe we can. JR? Okay.
All right. I'm going to call.
He's going to just call from this one. In the meantime, I will ask the department to come up and talk about the rulemaking process. I guess that would be you, Bob.
That'd be Bob. He looks
that
around.
I know. So Catherine isn't here. And we'll put him on hold. So if you could talk about the rulemaking process, how this came up, talk about the input you got, and since we have now dueling policies, we have a bill before us that would have an outright permitted use, and then you can talk about what the rule would do.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Bob Rindy with the department, and yes, I was looking around because I wasn't running this committee, and I'm afraid if some of the details I'm going to be sketchy on, but I want to say a couple of things before we start on that. First of all, the department doesn't have a position on the bill as with the proposed amendments that you have before you. So to be clear on that. The second thing is, because I think your testimony alluded to the proposal that's from the Rule Committee, just like a committee you might have commissioned for a policy issue, that's what it is. It's a proposal as a starting point, perhaps supported by a plurality of that work group, but that's all it is. It's not the rule. I highly suspect it's not going to be the exact rule that is that would be adopted by the commission when they consider this in a couple of weeks. Often we get a work group with differing points of view, and we can't have everybody. We can't have the unanimity we would like to have. So this is a starting point. It's very unusual for LCDC to adopt a rule of this magnitude in only one hearing. I suspect there would be at least one more after the June hearing. So we are far along in the process. We've been looking at this for about 8 months, but it's premature to look at the current starting product that has been put before the commission for their hearing and indicate that there's a problem with it. I'm sure there is, but I think we will try to fix those things.
Okay. Further questions for the department? No. He's looking at me. And I know that you are not staffing this, so and I have talked to Catherine, but the question I have is, was there discussion about, and I think we're going to hear some testimony, and we did receive some written testimony about an outright permitted use versus the proposal and the rules. Do you know if there was much discussion about that in the work group?
Madam Chair, indeed that was discussed. And as you've heard, there's ambiguity in the statutes, and that indeed was why the rulemaking was started in the first place. And the Rural Advisory Committee, or the RAC is the term you hear, talked about the difference between those proposals. The preliminary proposal that's been sent to LCDC to start this off wouldn't have this as an outright use, but that's one option, and it would probably come up in the hearings.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right. JR on the phone?
Should be.
JR, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're finally successful. We're glad that we were finally able to connect. So you are on speakerphone in front of a whole room of people. You just heard from Bob Rindy from the department, and we've already heard from Christina Minette, David Filippi, and Sean Cleave from the Farm Bureau.
Okay.
So if you can, you have to state your name for the record and say who you're representing, please.
I will do that. Good afternoon, Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee. Director, my name is J.R. Cook, and I'm the Executive Director for the Umatilla Basin Water Commission. We're an IGA forum between the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, Morrill County, Umatilla County, and Westland Irrigation District to implement the Umatilla Basin Aquifer Restoration Project. I've also have had the opportunity to participate as a member of the Reservoir Siting Rules Advisory Committee from DLCD, due to my background as a land use planner, and now my current position as the executive director for the commission. We've provided a written testimony into the record, so I'll be brief. Bet nobody's going to argue with me there. I'm representing the commission in favor of House Bill 3408 with the -1 amendments. As the definition of a reservoir, in the new proposed rule that is being developed through the Rules Advisory Committee, would now include both surface storage reservoirs and infiltration basins to recharge underground reservoirs. We feel that the simple legislative clarification is important to provide clarity for our project and to protect innovative multi-beneficial storage projects statewide. I'm going to touch on two specific reasons why the Commission supports House Bill 3408, and then leave it up. I'm more than happy to answer questions that you may have. The first reason, I think the biggest issue, and you've heard about it today, is this lack of consensus and the ambiguity surrounding the interpretation of ORS 215213 and ORS 215283 as it relates to whether or not reservoirs are an outright permitted use in the EFU zone. To date, the RAC, many people in this basin agree that reservoirs should be allowed uses on farmland, that adequate water for irrigation is vital to the viability of our agricultural economy. Many also believe that reservoirs can serve a critical role in aiding fishery restoration and addressing global warming. But what we still can't agree on is if they are an allowed use in a land use zone. And without that clear interpretation of the statute, we subject the land use program to appeals, error, precedent-setting decisions that could have unintended consequences for reservoir siting for years to come. We believe that House Bill 340 gives the legislature a chance to clarify that reservoirs are an outright use on EFU zone land, thereby creating and providing that clarity and certainty to the decision-making process. The second one, I guess this might be more of a of just a concern that we may have, is that counties may be used as another avenue for appeal rather than a forum for sound decision-making processes based on economic and environmental feasibility of reservoirs and scientific fact. Right now, districts and our IGA itself with our recharge project go through exhaustive state and sometimes federal permitting processes when making a decision to develop a reservoir site. Local governments at this point have the opportunity to participate in all of these public processes should they have concerns regarding a potential site. As the current process for siting reservoirs already includes multiple chances for public review, comment, and appeals, it is a concern that requiring local approvals of irrigation reservoirs will not be used as a constructive evidence-based forum for permitting, but as another means for appeal to stall what we believe to be necessary water supply investments. So in closing, based on these issues and the biggest, the consensus-based issue of the interpretation of whether a reservoir is or is not already an allowed use in EFU zones, we believe that 3408 is a straight-based approach to address an issue. It's very simple, it's clean, and it addresses a simple that or an issue that started with a disagreement over a statutory interpretation. It clarifies when and why reservoirs are allowed in the EFU zone and further clarifies that adequate water storage and water supply is a farm-related use and a critical component to enhance the carrying capacity of our natural resources and sustain the agricultural economy of the state of Oregon. As I said, I'm more than happy to answer questions. It sounds like there were a few of the RAC process. Like I said, I'm representing the Water Commission today, but I really appreciate the opportunity to Chair Dingfelder and the members of the committee for me to provide testimony today.
Okay, thank you, J.R. Let me see if there's any questions before I ask a question. Any questions for J.R. Cook? Okay. So, J.R., I have a question for you because you actually sat on the committee, and I'm assuming that you've been providing input all along on this process.
On the rulemaking for the RAC,
yeah.
The Rules Advisory Committee.
Correct.
Yes, I have. And my excuse me, did you have a question?
Well, I'd just like to hear your input about the process and if you have comments specifically on the rules.
You bet. I will be providing comments and recommended amendments on the rules should they go to hearing and this bill not pass. But primarily the Rules Advisory Committee, we started out early on, and forgive me, this project, I've forgotten track of time, but when I first took the job around August or September, I was asked to sit on this committee and asked to sit on the committee to clarify and to ensure that we could get reservoir sited on EFU zone land. When we first got into committee, our first questions to staff, to DLCD staff and to LCDC was, is this even necessary? We didn't have an AG interpretation. We did not know. We all believed that reservoirs themselves were included in the allowed uses under ORS 215213 and in the non-marginal land counties of 215283 as an outright permitted use. And we didn't get that for the first three meetings. And during those three meetings, we continued forward with the rulemaking process. And the first thing that we really had to tackle in that rulemaking process was the concerns that some of the members had of the non-resource uses that could, I guess, be encouraged to be sited around a reservoir due to that reservoir being there. I compare it to a golf course that is now allowed by rule to be placed on EFU land. And when I was a land use planner, all of the people that wanted to try to build a house around that golf course, even though it was on EFU zone property, that was the issue, the main crux of the issue in the rulemaking process was dealing with these unintended consequences or these non-resource-related uses that could be encouraged to develop around a reservoir. Not about is the reservoir allowed or not. It was what could that reservoir create in terms of issues surrounding it. So we finally, after the first, I believe it was after the House hearing, we received, and we still haven't received a written opinion. This there hasn't been a denial. This hasn't gone to LUBA or any other higher courts. It was an argument. I wouldn't say an argument, but it was a disagreement over an interpretation of the statute that led to the rulemaking. And then we received a verbal opinion that the dam or the impoundment structure could be considered an outright allowed use. The water impounded or behind that wasn't, and that still is not a. We still don't have consensus-based agreement on that interpretation, and I think this statute does, this bill does a very good job of providing that clarity and certainty, and it also does a great job of allowing the legislature to clarify for us what they may have thought that implied when the laws were originally adopted by the state.
Okay. Jerry, have you seen the Dash 1 amendments?
I have, and we are supportive of the Dash 1 amendments because they do prevent recreational reservoirs.
Okay. All right, thank you. Unless there are any other questions for JR, we will let him get back to his business. And thank you so much for calling in. We apologize about the little technological snafus.
Thank you. I apologize for not being there today in person.
All right. Thank you, JR.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have one more person that would like to testify, Peggy Lynch from the League of Women Voters. Anybody else would like to testify in House Bill 3408? Okay. Okay.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. And we support our statewide land use planning program with local implementation. In this case, the issue of local implementation is key. 3408 would allow irrigation reservoirs and other structures or facilities managed or operated by an irrigation district outright without the opportunity for a local government or its citizens to weigh in. We truly believe in the need for water for agriculture. We spent 3 years doing a study on the issue and on the issue of the need for abundant clean water in Oregon. So we understand the need for access to water for our agricultural community. You have heard from J.R. Cook, and we support the project that he is working on related to the Umatilla and the ASR, the groundwater storage project. We are hopeful that it will be successful and that it will be a model for the future around the state. And we supported House Bill 3369, which provided some bonding opportunities for him. Our concern, and you heard, and in your Dash 1 amendments, there are some issues addressed related to other uses related to agricultural irrigation reservoirs. We are concerned and want to make sure that there is a public discussion about where these are sited, and that does not happen. I just heard from J.R. Cook a concern that I am assuming this bill does not give outright a new water right for irrigation districts, that they still would have to go through a water right proposal. We did follow the rulemaking process, and we believe that the rulemaking process and what's proposed in the rules limits the criteria for the decision-making so as to focus any appeal that is a concern of the proponents. They could only appeal on this limited criteria, and for those of you who understand the land use situation, the criteria is really important in how decisions are made. So the rulemaking really limits the criteria, but it does allow for an opportunity for people to decide where the best place to site such a reservoir is. This bill also provides the opportunity, I believe, since these are a public entity, for the opportunity of using eminent domain. So a public discussion about this is really important. The LCDC is holding its public hearing on the rules June 22nd and 23rd regarding the adoption. They restrict approval for other on-site or adjacent uses that would conflict with the operation of irrigation reservoirs, parks, and other kinds of uses. They would also restrict these reservoirs for being used for a new destination resort or golf courses or parks, campgrounds, other kinds of issues that are not a part of the reason that we're told this bill is needed. It's needed, supposedly, to make sure that we have water for our agricultural uses. So at the present time, we approve of the amendments, but on whole, we still oppose the bill because we really believe that the rulemaking provides the narrow opportunity to make good decision-making while addressing issues of critical concern for the citizens of Oregon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Peggy. Any questions? Okay.
Madam Chair, really yes. Quickly. So I'm 5 feet tall. One of the proposals, just so that you get an idea of what these are very large entities. One of them is would allow a 50-foot dam. So that's 10 times me. So I just want you to get a visual of the kind of facility that we're talking about.
Peggy, before you leave, though, I would like to ask, since you mentioned eminent domain, and I meant to ask Mr. Filippi this, but he'd probably charge me more if he came up here, because I'm sure
he'll
his client more. But this has been an issue that has been raised. We do have in our packet an email that we received, I think, today from an individual who is concerned about eminent domain. Can you mention it? Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, I'm certainly not a lawyer, but
you
I charge,
have
a, lot,
come
but
back
I charge a lot less. But I'm assuming, since they are a public entity, that irrigation districts are a public entity, that they would have the opportunity to use eminent domain in order to gain access to property within the irrigation district for where this. Not all members of irrigation districts would necessarily support where a site would be for an irrigation reservoir.
Okay.
So it's simply a concern, and I'm certainly not a lawyer.
David, you want to come back up? You can, you know, earn your full fees today.
Bring the certified smart.
Yeah. And we need you to state your name for the record again.
Sure. Dave Filippi with Still Reeves on behalf of OWRC.
So I just wanted you to address the eminent domain issue that that Peggy Lynch just raised, and if you have any comments on that.
Irrigation districts under ORS Chapter 545 do have the authority for eminent domain. That's been in the statute a very long time. It's rarely exercised. When irrigation districts do pursue new projects or facilities, whether it's an irrigation district or a city or any other municipality, eminent domain is a tool of last resort. And to the extent that it's needed for siting, it's the sort of thing that the districts have as an option.
Okay. Thank you for putting that on the record. Any other questions?
Oh, can I get more money now?
We'll let you guys settle on that.
Question.
Yes.
So can you give us some examples where it's been used recently or the last time it's been used by a water district, to your knowledge?
I have been practicing 15 years and have been representing irrigation districts, and I'm not actually aware of any recent examples where that's occurred. I do think it's worth noting that this issue of irrigation storage comes up in a number of different contexts, and it may be underground storage, as Mr. Cook had mentioned before. It may be what I would refer to as bulge storage or re-regulating storage, where water may be stored temporarily, and as an irrigation district moves water from main storage through a system, they may need temporary storage along part of their delivery system, or it may be an off-channel reservoir or an on-channel reservoir, lots of different options. But I think the the bottom line from the Oregon Water Resources Congress's point of view is that that use, the storage of irrigation water, is in and of itself a farm purpose, and that's what EFU zoning is for, is to facilitate farm and ag purposes. So long as the reservoir at issue is for irrigation purposes and it's not for recreation, and that's been addressed in the Dash 1 amendments, this issue of needing more public scrutiny at the local level, the appropriate place to do that is not in a land use hearing. That scrutiny occurs through the water rights permitting, and this bill does not give irrigation districts any leg up on water rights or the ability to store water in and of itself. That's a separate process. Oftentimes these reservoirs require permits for fill and removal activities from Department of State Lands or from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So there's a number of other permitting processes whereby concerns that local landowners may have would play itself out. So what I think what this bill does is it just clarifies that when we have an irrigation use or irrigation storage, a farm use on EFU land, there shouldn't be a higher bar for an irrigation district as opposed to an individual farmer. Irrigation districts, the reason they exist and they've been around for hundreds of years is to try and take the collective farmers on a collective basis and do projects that benefit everybody in a communal way or in a cooperative way. And those shouldn't be treated any differently than an individual farmer who decides to build his or her own reservoir on his or her own land.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else like to testify on House Bill 3408? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3408, and we will be holding this work session over till our next committee meeting, which is on May 31st. Folks just got this packet. There's a lot of information in there, and I'm assuming that they would like to read that along with the waiting for the final paperwork. So with that, we are going to move into the work sessions that we have posted. We might as well just start from the beginning. And Beth, I will open up the work sessions. Why don't you give us a reminder about these bills, and then if we will take motions, and then if there's discussion, we can bring people up if we need to.
Okay.
So with that, I will open up a work session on House Bill 2130A.
Madam Chair, members, 2130A is the bill that you heard on the 19th. It clarifies the statute that governs LCDC review of local land use decisions. There's an A11 amendment that was discussed at the hearing that rewrites the first section of the bill. Minimal fiscal impact, no revenue impact.
Okay. So I will take a motion.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt the HB 2130-A11 amendment dated 5/24/11.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash A11 amendments dated 5/24/2011 into House Bill 2130. Is there any discussion? Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2130A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Olson moves House Bill 2130 as amended with the Dash A11 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Chair Hatch?
Aye.
Chair Stokke?
Aye.
Chair Olson?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and I will carry the bill. Okay, we will close the work session on House Bill 2130A, and we will open up a work session on House Bill 2753. No A.
Madam Chair, members, 2753 is the bill that you heard on the 19th that would extend the sunset. Would extend the sunset date for authorization of guest ranches from 2012 to 2018. There is a Dash 1 amendment that would prohibit the siting of those ranches in certain federally designated areas. There is no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact, no statement was issued.
Okay, so I will take a motion on the amendment.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt HB 2753-1, dated 5/23/11.
Senator also moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2753. These are dated 5/23/11. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, Amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2753 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 2753 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator House?
Aye.
Senator Brzezinski?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Aye. With that, the motion carries. Is there any? We do have a volunteer to carry the bill, and that's Senator Olson. So giddy up on that one. Okay. Next up, we have, that closes the work session on House Bill 2753. I will open up a work session on House Bill 3290.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 3290 was heard on the 10th of May. The bill establishes that any LCDC rule that sets farm income standards to determine whether a dwelling is provided be allowed to meet the standard in three different ways. There's a dash two amendment that rewrites the first section of the bill. Minimal fiscal impact statement, no revenue impact. Oh, no, I'm sorry, there is a revenue statement in your packet.
Yes, I was going to say we do, and it is indeterminate. Mm-hmm. Has everyone had a chance to read that revenue impact statement? Okay, so I will accept a motion on the dash two amendments.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the amendments for House Bill 3290-2, dated 5/24/11.
Okay, Senator Olson moves the dash two amendments into House Bill 3290, dated 5/24/11. Any discussion? Any objections? Okay, seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3290 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 3290 as amended with the dash twos to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. The clerk will call the roll, please. I should ask for discussion, sorry. Any discussion? Now the clerk will call the roll. I had a feeling.
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator
Aye. That the motion carries. Do we have a Senator Thompson? Would you like to carry that?
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks.
So we'll really confuse people since this was Representative Thompson's bill.
Yeah.
That we will close the work session on House Bill 3290. We will open up a work session on House Bill 3591A.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 3591A would direct DEQ when dealing with variances to the state's water quality standards. There's no amendment proposed. The original bill, there was a minimal fiscal impact, so there was no statement, no revenue impact.
Okay, so we don't have an amendment, but I'll take a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3591A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 3591A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator House?
Aye.
Senator Brzezinski?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator
Dingfelder? Aye. With that, the motion carries, and Senator Haas, would you be willing to carry this bill to the floor?
Happy to.
Okay. With that, we close the work session on House Bill 3591A. And we will open up a work session on the last bill, House Bill 3601.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 3601 would allow DSL and Dogami to enter into an MOA in certain cases involving surface mining. There are no amendments proposed, minimal fiscal impact, no statement issued, no revenue impact.
Okay, I'll take a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3601 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 3601 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator
House?
Aye.
Senator Brzezinski?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Dingfelder?
Aye. That the motion carries, and
yes,
Senator Brzezinski. On my cheat sheet.
I didn't see your cheat sheet. I can count first. I'm going to take the last one.
And with that, the work session on House Bill 3601 is closed. Before everyone runs off, I just want to make sure that everyone knows that next Tuesday is our last hearing and work session. It is our last committee meeting. And we will be here. Please do check your agenda. We are at 1 hour notice for posting now, and we are carrying over House Bill 3408 for work session, for possible work session. Anything else I need to announce? I think everything else is posted. With that, we are adjourned.